Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This is going to be for the mini-series called Win or Lose from Pixar Studios, available on Disney Plus. I'm your host Matthew, and let's go to our rating system. We'll start off spoiler-free. We've got strong must-see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. Surprise, surprise, Pixar have knocked it out of the park. Once again, indeed, and in a very, very different format and very different type of storytelling to what they normally do. So I'm going to go with strong must see and a quite easy 10 out of 10 for this. It's funny with Pixar, because obviously they started out as a studio doing shorts and things like that. And of course, their first feature film was this little great film called Toy Story. What an incredible first film to have on your CV. And then they make, 30 years worth of films, some other shorts here and there. And then they've branched out seemingly a little bit more twice now with, full-on TV shows, not just shorts, with both Dream Productions and now with Win or Lose, which is a completely new original thing, because Dream Productions is from the world of Inside Out. Yeah, just yet again, I think in terms of what Pixar does, what Pixar's good at, the whole emotional stuff, it feels like one day Pixar's gonna tell a story using those usual tools, and it's gonna feel like a repeat of the past. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen, because they're so good at it. And I know that Pixar essentially does kind of do the same thing over and over again, obviously with different stories, with different characters, but they do the feelings thing, they do the sort of relatable thing, and they easily do it better than pretty much anybody else. And I thought this series was incredible. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. It was very interesting to see once you actually start going through it more, and you start to, because essentially what the format here is, you've got this baseball team, and there's like obviously the characters within it, so the players, there's like the actual referee, there's the coach, there's some other people, there's like some of the parents involved. It's this sort of young baseball team from this school, and you essentially get like eight different stories from eight different characters, and you get to learn about what they're all going through and what they're all going through kind of in their individual lives, how that's affecting those around them. And what it ends up doing is there's a through line for a story, like there's a series of events that happen, and it does this cool thing where depending on whose story you're on and which episode you're on, you see certain events overlap. So when someone goes to do something that that another character's been involved with, and it sort of tells its story that way, which is a very different thing for Pixar to do. It's a pretty normal storytelling method, but it's a new. I don't think Pixar themselves have done that before, but they've absolutely completely knocked this out of the park with what they've tried to do here. There were some episodes that most of the things that these characters are going through really do hit quite hard, and they're all going through different things, but they're all kind of, they get lifted up, they get put back down, they face all kinds of other different emotions. It was interesting actually watching this in a post Pixar Inside Out 2 world, where obviously with Inside Out specifically and Inside Out 2, and obviously with Dream Productions as well, they specifically explore like individual or specific emotions. Like Pixar has always done that thing of exploring characters' lives and that sort of emotional thing, but they've almost got deeper with it in their last couple of entries with things like Inside Out 1 and Inside Out 2 and Dream Productions and this. Those are the sort of key four or four key sort of films you could, I guess there's one TV show in there that you could point towards that kind of lean more into specific emotions and kind of like Yeah, target like certain specific stuff within storytelling. So it does that, and then it tells this story of this baseball team, and you get the what do you call it, the sort of individual lives of these characters. So that's sort of the baseline for it. I won't get into spoilers and stuff here. But no, it was incredibly well done. It's really short and sweet and to the point. It's 8 episodes. They are about 22 minutes or so. The last one's a bit longer, but the last one has the job of telling one more story with a character and then taking an additional, 5, 10 minutes. Because I think it's like 32 minutes, the actual finale. But it takes those sort of 5 to 10 minutes and spends those like actually wrapping up the story. So again, it will be a limited series. Again, it doesn't look like there's going to be a season two, which again, Pixar have done, a chunk of sequels, but they're still mostly known for doing original stuff and things like that. But it's been interesting to see with specifically these two TV shows. I know one's technically a spin-off, but to see them kind of explore that a bit more. But yeah, I thought this was really, really incredible, and it's one that even still I don't feel like I've fully or completely digested. And I in order to do this podcast here, I've got enough information. I've seen all the episodes, but it's one that I'm going to carry with me sort of post podcast and still be thinking about all these individual stories. And it's interesting in today's day and age with mental health and things like that, and obviously these characters are going through a lot of stuff and all that sort of thing. This series really does go to show that someone can come across to you in a particular way and can at times come across as, a genuinely nasty person. But then they've got their own stuff going, like with the mother in this show. She comes across as very kind of, bossy and controlling in certain ways. But then you have her episode and you kind of learn that. That was probably the best episode of the series to me personally, was the episode about the mother. I think that was episode 4, because episodes 3 and 4 are a bit more directly connected together. So some other spoiler-free stuff to note about the show. It's kind of reminded me of Heartstopper, and also reminded me of, again, the way certain things are shown in Inside Out 1 and 2. They have this really cool kind of, how could I describe it? Like digital emotional effect. Like when something happens to a character. Excuse me, when something happens to a character and it gets, I don't want to spoil them too much, like describe them too thoroughly, because they're a nice kind of surprise. But there's this thing where it kind of it shows a character's emotion, or like something physical happening to them, or something similar to that on screen, and they have this sort of like, don't want to say digital way of doing it, but they have this sort of like on-screen representation of kind of what the character's feeling on the inside. Because there's a lot of kind of like, brave face sort of scenes as well, like when the character's trying to convince another one that, they're okay, or they're hiding something, or something similar like that. So there's a lot of that that goes into this series, and I really, really liked, I think, pretty much all the depictions of stuff. Some of it is a little bit more funny, some of it is like much more kind of serious. Because I don't know when this started development and how much it influenced Inside Out 2, for example, or obviously Dream Productions was made near this as well. But yeah, it feels like there's some almost like some Pixar quality crossover. Not like borrowing ideas, but sort of crossover ideas of kind of the way that you're displaying something for the audience on the screen, but you know that that character is either mentally or physically feeling whatever that particular thing is. And there's loads of different examples of them in the show. And even though that stuff isn't needed, it's a really good kind of way of just, again, not punching you in the face with like, hey, this character's really stressed, or something like that, but it just gives, I guess, like an emotional representation of what the character's feeling, and it gives you a really good bit of sort of deeper insight into what that character's kind of feeling in the moment. I thought they did that really, really well. I found that to be a fun inclusion, but also just a really, really well done one. So I thought that was really, really good as well. So, but you'll once you for those for those of you that have seen the series, you know what I'm on about. And for those of you that haven't, and hopefully you do go and check it out, you'll soon realize what I mean, and you'll realize kind of where they go with that sort of stuff. And I wouldn't mind Pixar doing that. Now it has to sort of flow with it well and make sense. Like I don't know if that kind of thing would work with every Pixar release. I think you'd have to do it with more of your like human-based characters, because Pixar tells stories with toys and cars and monsters and all sorts of other things. But I think in the future, when you have, and not in a way to overdo it, and it never felt overdone either. It felt, because it wasn't like constantly on the screen. It sort of pops up where it's appropriate, and you sort of you completely see what they're going for, and they absolutely nailed that. So that was great. Pixar's just so good, man. I just, because I want to do some sort of obviously special podcast in November for not just Toy Story's 30th anniversary, but Pixar's main 30th anniversary. There's just certain, I mean, you can say this about different studios as well, and different studios do their own different thing in a special way within themselves. There's just something that there's a way that Pixar continues to tell stories. And they essentially do keep using the same format, but it's not gotten boring yet, and it's not gotten overdone or sort of, I don't know, they're just so good at doing it, and it just really, really shined through here again. And I can't wait to see how they use how they just continue to evolve themselves as a studio, and like this kind of new emotional mechanic, if you want to call it that. I don't really know how you would describe it, because it's both for physical stuff and for like mental and emotional things as well, how they show certain things on screen. But I would be curious, I would be curious to see them do that mechanic in a feature film with characters. I don't know where that would next fit in necessarily. So yeah, anyway, just re really, really, really enjoyed that. That was something that really kind of stood out as well. So they did that fantastically well. I'm not sure what else I can really say spoiler free here, but I thoroughly recommend the series. It was absolutely fantastic. I'm gonna try to wedge this somewhere in the top five of the year. I do think it's that good. That competition is getting stiffer and stiffer by each new must-see release that, that comes out this year. So we'll see where this fits in, but it certainly should fit in somewhere. It will at least be in my TV list. I just don't know where exactly. And we still have, just under half of the year. No, just over half of the year left to go. So we'll see what else we get for all that. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the spoiler-free stuff. Like I said, I thoroughly recommend the series. It's a completely brand new original thing, another original thing from Pixar, because they just keep doing that. I know they've got some sequels coming up, but whatever. So there's that. But if you have or haven't seen the series, if you haven't, have I convinced you to go and watch it? It's very, very short anyway. There's 8 episodes. They're about 20 minutes each. And the last one's like a little bit longer, but it's a limited series. It wraps itself up fairly nicely. I mean, if they ever did want to revisit these characters, I would be open to doing that. But this is meant to be a limited series, so no risk of getting. I mean, there's cliffhangers in the episodes. Of course, you can watch them all back to back, so you don't get left on a cliffhanger. But yeah, it's a complete series, so you can go and check that out. So yeah, anyway, if you seen the series or haven't seen the series or whatever else, let me know your thoughts on it. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, and my United podcast, so check all those out of whatever ones you want. Of course, we've got Gaming Talk, which came roaring back this week because we did a very, very long episode about all the recent game announcements. Last of Us, we're wrapped up with that now for season two. We did like a feedback podcast, and we also did some other stuff in there as well. Film reviews, of course, recently went to see things like Warfare, Thunderbolts, Sinners, I almost said Simmers, Sinners, the new Ryan Coogler film. So I've seen all those recently, so you can check those out. And there'll be other stuff as well. TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Of course, the Man United wrap up. So check that out as well if you want to. But yeah, entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. So check out all of that if you can. If you want to support us in other ways, apart from listening to more stuff and using word of mouth and social media, if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options up there as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk. So check all that out for your TV and your film news. I'm sure if something gets posted about Pixar, David will post that as well, so check all that out. And then YouTube Entertainment Talk plays for all of our video game stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening to this, and I'll see you on the other side for the spoiler section. See you in a minute.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen Win or Lose from Pixar, I highly recommend it. Go and check it out. Short, sweet, 8 episodes, da-da-da-da-da, already done all that bit. So I'm going to get into spoilers now. Let's just go. I'm not going to read out the recaps for the episodes. I'm going to mention what each episode was just to kind of get a reminder recap of them and their titles. And then I will talk about them individually. That's probably the best way to do this. So episode one, we've got Coach's Kid. Laurie, the right fielder of the Pickles, suffers from anxiety as she tries to impress her father, Coach Dan. Yeah, she's not good at softball. Sorry, it's called softball, not baseball, whatever. Yeah, and then of course she gets this, we get our first kind of depiction of a character or that sort of thing, which is this sweat character. What was the name of it? Sweaty. I'm just going to call it the sweat character. The depiction of anxiety. They did an incredible job with that as well. Of course, there's literally a piece near the end when I think she's nearly on her third strike or something, and like this thing is towering over her. Again, it was really, really kind of interesting going through the series. And I mean, I'm going to do a chat podcast after this where I'm going to talk about mental health stuff, so stay tuned for that. You know, when we experience things in life, and it's very easy to feel like you are the only person in the world going through something. Not just anxiety, not just mental health stuff, but any problem in the world, any problem in the world that you could name that an individual could go through. It's very, very easy to feel like, and you know in the back of your mind, you're not the only person who has this type of problem or has a problem, whatever it is, whatever your actual issue is. But it's very, very easy to fall into, like, I'm the only person in the world going through this thing. You feel completely alone in that and whatever else, right? And literally each of these eight characters have a thing they're going through, and you know they get the help from other people and whatever else. But like with this anxiety thing, from Laurie's perspective, it feels like, okay, she's the only person on this team that she thinks and feels like she's the only person on this team facing anxiety. Because, and it's easy to feel this way with anxiety, and I unfortunately know this firsthand, because it just wraps you up so much, and it is that weight on you. And I like the sort of depiction of, and again, they do this in Inside Out 2 really, really well. The depiction of like this kind of sweat anxiety character, whatever it is so big that it's literally weighing her down physically. And none of these things are nice to witness these characters going through, but it's really, really important storytelling as well. So I thought they did that fantastically well. Yeah, it was, and again, you see Laurie popping up later and all that sort of thing. So I thought that was really great. But yeah, I really, really liked, I liked all of these episodes a lot, but they're all great and unique in their own different ways, which was again, the entire goal of the whole thing anyway. But I get the angle as well of, okay, she's clearly not very good at this, right, unfortunately. And she is getting the support of everybody around her, even though it's a sort of brave face, like, oh God, I hope she does it, you know, sort of thing. And then it's sort of, okay, is she just on this team because she's the coach's kid? Because that can happen sometimes, can't it? But yeah, I thought that episode was fantastic for that as well. So episode two, we've got Blue. This is Frank, the softball's league umpire. You could call him the referee, I suppose, if you want to. That's me relating in football terms. Yeah, the depiction of his armor was quite cool as well. I didn't quite get what that was at first. It took me a minute to realize what was that actually going on there. But obviously, he's not being shot with bullets, and he's not actually wearing armor and whatnot. Although the mum later on in an episode does a little fourth wall break and is like, "Hey, I see you wearing your armor," sort of thing. But whatever. This was probably one of the sadder ones of all of the episodes, where he's trying to get into this world of dating, and I love the cleaner character. Did I have his name here? Measuring blue armor, face problems, social skills, breaking up with girlfriend and fellow teacher Monica. I'm only called to commit to marriage. Frank finds Monica. Yeah, Monica's the name of the woman that he couldn't move on from. You got the cleaner character. His name's not written here. Yeah, essentially ended up playing this, what would you call it? Like dating online game and things like that. I thought that was pretty well represented as well. But yeah, just like, oh man, the way that they kind of in this series raise a character up and then push them back down, then raise them back up, and because Frank doesn't really have a great end to his story, really. I mean, okay, realizes he's made a mistake and he's heartbroken from that, and like he's, you know, barely able to concentrate or function during the championship game. That was a pretty good. I don't know if loneliness was the sole thing they were going for, or just the idea of like grieving and trying to move on, I think was the more key thing rather than actual loneliness. But just this story about this guy who has like really, really stuck himself into work and is this, very precise, focused teacher and all this sort of thing. I did like the depiction of the sort of it says a role playing video game, the sort of like dating app that he used. I thought was quite good. But man, the end of the episode when he like, because you can see her holding some wine and she's talking to someone, right? And I was like, oh, he's gonna walk in there and there's gonna be, she's gonna be drinking wine with somebody on a date, even though that wouldn't have made sense for a school, but that was what I thought of at the time. But now she's got a ring on and she's moved on. Yeah, so that was kind of the more, one of the more sadder ends to the episode. Although he has a decent kind of ending in the series itself. So, but I thought that was again quite a good one. Again, a different aim you're sort of going for, different type of person and whatever, and a different sort of story there. Anyway, I thought the cleaner character was who I kind of related to in a particular. I'm a cleaner at a school, for those of you that don't know. And yeah, that was a nice, he was a nice fun thing to put in the in an otherwise quite sad episode. So I thought that one was really, really quite good. Then we got Raspberry. Rochelle, the catcher, is comes from a financially struggling family, or they're struggling in a lot of different ways. Her mum's like a social media influencer who gets these kind of well, we'll talk about the mother in a minute. She's trying to raise money so that she can be in the team for next year, and she has to do that, and then she goes down a particularly dark path, like going into thievery and like theft and cheating and things like that. But I do like how that does kind of just show like even the most innocent person in the world can accidentally slide into that type of life. Not that she actually delves into it and starts doing that, but it almost went that way. It almost went that way. But yeah, running these sort of in the toilets or whatever it was, this whole test cheating thing. So yeah, I thought the end of the episode was really impactful with the sort of her trying to make the phone call and everything. I thought that was really, really great. And again, there's a whole bunch of stuff in all these episodes about like all the, there's so many little touches in this series as well that I thought was, excuse me, very, very well done. So that was really, really good as well. And then I think the best episode of the series, Pickle, Vanessa, the mother of Rochelle and infant Zane, is struggling in her role as a single parent. Zane is biting things, and then of course Rochelle is doing what she's doing. I really, really like this episode a lot. This might be one of my favorite episodes of TV of the year so far. And I think she turned into maybe the best character in the show. Because you can look at a character like that and very easily misconceive them as just, oh, she's bossy, she's moody, she, is really pushy and all this sort of thing. But then again, get a deeper look into a person's life and kind of you get a peek behind the curtain and you see what's actually going on in this person's life. And I thought she turned into just a very interesting, decently like layered character as well. And again, the whole brave face thing of this sort of female confidence thing coming through, especially sort of like as a mother. And I mean, I can't obviously relate as a mother because I'm not one. I'm not a father or anything like that. The whole parent thing of you want to always do best by your kids, and you've got to always make things look great. Because there's a lot of in the episode like her turning around and smiling and like, yeah, I'm doing the yes queen sort of thing. And I quite like the depiction actually of She goes live on her phone, and that's like her comfort thing. And it's sort of, hey, I've had a bad day, and all that sort of stuff. And the way these like, the way that likes or hearts are sort of depicted, they come out of the phone and sort of hug her, I thought was really, really well done, actually. And then, unfortunately, it just got to a point where it's like, okay, she's got her own stuff going on. She's got this young son that kind of is, you know, he's acting up and stuff. And then there's her teenage or growing into, you know, young teenage daughter getting involved in stuff, and she can't keep her eyes on everything. And that's not a knock against the character or anything like that. But that just sometimes. I don't know why, but I did relate to her and say, just you know, just kind of in terms of being overwhelmed and stressed, and it's not even the anxiety is specifically depicted in the episode, even though that's a part of it. It's more kind of about her just keeping up. Like, can she, rather than her being ahead and trying to actually thrive in the world, can she keep up with stuff? And that's something I usually do hear from, you know, people that I know in my life that are parents. It's kind of, can you keep up with everything? You've got yourself to look after. You've got your career or your job, and then you've got your kid. And then if you've got another one that's older, you've got that kid to look after. And then there's lots of other things to look after as well. And then there's kind of the dreams that you have. So the dream that she has is being trying to do this content creator thing, but then she's got, you know, she just gets life piled onto her, and sometimes it's just you don't have to, put on the face of I'm constantly smiling and thriving. Sometimes it's just about try to just catch your breath, you know, try to just you're trying to. Because you feel like you're always one or that one or two steps behind things in life, and you're just kind of, you're just trying to keep pace with you know, with the world and with everything that's going on. And like, there's a few scenes in the episode where she literally gets into a car, she's been doing something, and then she just has just like, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that as well. Like, when you have had just a particularly busy day, and while you've done eventually everything that you needed to, you're exhausted, and then you just have a reflective moment of just, all right, let me just catch my breath, sort of thing. And it's kind of, you know, and I related to that a fair bit as well. I'm sure we all can, in a way of, you know, when we've just had one of them days where it's just next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, and you're just trying to keep up with what you're doing, and you're not even. Sometimes you're not always even thinking what you're doing in the moment in that kind of day. It's just sort of, can I almost put myself on autopilot and just do these tasks? And it's just one after the other. And then you sort of get to the end of that day. And yeah, you need to take that deep breath sometimes and just, yeah. Because unfortunately, sometimes it's a case of, it's not always, can I just get everything done? Like, make sure you don't collapse on yourself, you know? So anyway, if you couldn't tell, I really, really enjoyed that episode, and the ending of it was a really great sort of, obviously, sequel piece to episode 3. So yeah, that was very, very good. Then we've got Steel, which is so episode 5 is Ira, the younger brother of the Pickles. I'm not sure where this was. I wasn't sure where this was going at first. I was like, okay, why are you picking out this story? And then it actually ended up being one of the core sort of things for the series, the whole money box thing and the duck chicken thing, whatever it was. I think it was the chicken suit. And especially like how Rochelle was connected to that, and how almost everybody ended up being connected to that. I thought that was a pretty good episode. But yeah, just like going from, okay, a single mother with kids to this kid who sort of just, okay, has he got friends? What does that mean? Are these people his friends? Are they using him? Then he just gets unfortunately dragged into this situation. But then also the idea of he's got like this older sister, she's got friends, has he got friends? What does that mean? What does that look like? And all the emotions that are sort of tied in with that. Of course, he's got like his filter thing where he sort of has this like adventure mode type thing. I thought that was quite well depicted as well. So that was good. Then you got Mixed Signals. Ewan portrays himself as an overconfident and snarky, but his heart represented by imaginary paper craft. I really liked that little touch, and you got the sort of in heart depiction of no, this is what this guy's actually like, and this is the and a lot of these characters are putting on a front at times, right? Like pretending things are okay, putting on a brave face, all that sort of thing. But I thought that was a nice little, again, Pixar just doing these little things in the show. I thought that was really, really excellent, the way that they portrayed that as well. So I quite like that, because again, you look at a young teenage boy like that, he's trying to be confident, he's trying to get everybody to be his friend, and you could easily look at someone like that and go, you're a bit silly, you're a bit of an idiot, you're just you're over a sort of acting, you're trying to be, you know, the big shot in the team, but turns out he has a heart. So yeah, that was a really, really good episode as well. So I quite like that one. Then I've got it. 1 year before the championship game, Kai and her father, James, moved to Peaks Valley to live with grandmother. Kai notices a softball team, and it sort of goes from there. I thought this was quite a good episode as well. So this was, yeah, her wanting to join the team, and of course going through moving away from where they were. Of course, never easy on young people, especially of that age, you know, making new friends and all that kind of stuff. But again, it's nice in these sort of series or, you know, things from Pixar where a character's a bit down and out, and then they see something and they find something, and they find sort of their next, almost their next purpose in life, or their next thing that's going to inspire them, and all that sort of thing. And I thought her relationship with her dad was quite interesting, because okay, you want to push your children to do the best that they can, right? But you don't. There's a line somewhere where it's sort of, I want to just push you just that little bit further, so you do that little bit better, so you get to where you want to go. But then there's the sort of pushing them over the line and pushing them too far, which I have no experience with, because I've never done that with a person before, or a child at least. So I thought that was quite a good episode as well. And then we got home, where it all kind of kicks off and concludes. Coach Dan takes great pride in his team and being a role model for Laurie, so it's tying back into episode one, which I quite liked actually. I quite liked how Laurie was the sort of starter piece, and then you go through all these bits and pieces, and not only do you go through each individual story's character's story, but you see how things start overlapping, and you see Laurie a few times in the episodes, and then it circles back around to Laurie with Dan, with her dad, and you see how that all kind of culminates to together. I thought that was quite a smart choice. I quite like that they did that. But yeah, he keeps inflating himself when he gets really, really stressed. I thought that again, the depictions of things like stress, anxiety, worry, or any of those sort of overwhelming emotions, I thought was done really quite well. So I thought that was quite good as well. And then of course, like everybody's story culminates together. I think they won the softball game in the end. But then again, it was never about the game, was it? I mean, that was literally just the backdrop of the aim for these characters. It was just more about where they're at in their stories and things like that. So that was very, very good. Yeah, Vanessa flirting with Frank after he saves Zane from choking. I wonder where that was going to end up going as well. And then Laurie tells her father she's thinking of quitting softball. So you tried your best, though. You tried your very best. The game continues into extra innings with Laurie as manager. The outcome is not revealed as the Pickles happily eat at a pizza place. Again, I liked how all the stories sort of culminated together in the end. I'm just looking through because the description of this one is a bit longer. I'm just seeing if I've missed any key points. But yeah, that was just where everyone's emotions started blowing up. You got the coach and the dad, sorry, like the referee and Frank and Dan, and they sort of had a clash and everything else. So I thought that was good. Yeah, that's the so yeah, that was the end of Win or Lose from Pixar. I think it's another win from Pixar. I think this was, yeah, a fantastic series, and I believe the next thing from Pixar is Toy Story 5, if I'm not mistaken, which, bloody hell, that's a big deal. That's a very, very, very big deal. I guess one day soon we'll get a trailer for that, and that will make me go through my own individual emotions. Yeah, Pixar again doing what they do well. I still think they're, I genuinely think that they are an underappreciated studio. I know they don't do the same thing that they used to do, but you're not going to do the exact same thing for 30 years, are you? Or the same, characters or whatever. But they continue to make original content. They've branched out now into miniseries. They do sequels. They've done spin-offs. They do lots of new films. Oh no, Elio is the next one up, isn't it? Yeah, Elio, which is next weekend. Not had a lot of promotion, Elio. If I see Elio opening with something really low for box office, I don't know that I'll be that surprised, because it's really just not had a lot of promotion. Not that I've seen anyway. So we are gonna get that. And then I think there's a Hopper series or something as well. Which I think is next year. And then of course the next like big one from Pixar is obviously Toy Story 5 in about a year's time. Anyway, that's it from me. If I missed anything, any other talking points, any other bits and pieces, write in and let me know. But that's it from me. Thank you very much for listening. And here's to the next Pixar thing, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.